Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the pound for pound best radio show around the world. It's Leave It In the Ring.
He took it from crack to rap. Now he put out two anthems a year, and I just want to rock.
Welcome to a special edition of Leaving the Ring. We got Chris 916, our MMA correspondent. This is his first MMA show that we're throwing out there for the MMA fans. You know, we've had this request time and time again for MMA fans that listen to Leaving the Ring, because as you know, Leaving the Ring has always been a pro boxing show with 20 minutes or 30 minutes of MMA report by Chris in the Cage. Chris, do I got you online, brother?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, and as of guests, we're going to be having Shine's Fight Promotions. We're going to be having Den Thompson and Nick the Ghost, the GOAT Thompson, on the line with us. I believe we have one of our guests on with us already. Area code 651. Are you there, brother?
Yep, this is the GOAT.
The GOAT, how you doing, man?
I'm getting by. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm enjoying the California weather, brother.
I'm in Minnesota, so I'm not quite that lucky.
Well, I'll tell you how it is. It's nice and sunny, and everybody that's living in California, man, they're probably outside right now listening to the radio show, barbecuing up, and having a couple of beers. How's training camp going for you?
Yeah, it's going great. You know, I'm kind of beat up right now, just like I should be at the end of a training camp, and now I'll start backing it down and letting my body heal up so that I'm ready come fight time.
You got a fight coming up on Saturday, May 15th, live on pay-per-view. Shine Fight Promotion presents Worlds Collide at the Crown Coliseum in North Carolina on pay-per-view. Like I said, Antonio Margarito versus Den Thompson is scheduled for May 15th. Go ahead, 916, Chris, and handle your business, bro.
All right, quick correction, though. That'd be Dean Thomas versus
Dean Thomas.
Ricardo Mayorga,
yeah.
Ricardo Mayorga, not Antonio Margarito, although he might want
Did
to
I say that?
One day as well.
Did I say that? See, my mind is already off already, man. I'm overthinking about boxing again.
It's all good, man. Anyways, Nick, man, how you doing, man? How you been holding up since your last fight? You haven't been in there a while. What you been up to since?
You know, it's been tough not fighting. It's been a long time since I've had this long a break. But I'm by day, I'm also an attorney, and so I've been really focusing on that and kind of getting my practice going and been busy with that.
You know, that's an interesting thing. I think that is something that a lot of fans, I mean MMA fans, hardcore fans, would know about that, but a lot of our listeners, you know, casual fans and boxing fans wouldn't know that about you. Can you just explain a little bit how Nick the GOAT Thompson can hold down being a practicing attorney and a pretty much full-time MMA fighter at the same time, simultaneously?
Well, I don't have a lot of friends. That makes it pretty easy. there's no one calling me to do anything, so when I'm not with my wife and infant or at the office, I'm at the gym. You know, it's been kind of nice for me. It's almost an escape. You know, I have a hard day at the office, and then I get to go punch saw, you know, a heavy bag. So it's a nice way to kind of unwind from a hard day.
What is the most challenging part of balancing both those careers, though?
The family aspect of it is really tough. You know, I have a 10-month-old baby, and you know, when I have a fight coming up like this, I've got to go straight from the office to the gym, and I don't get home until she's just about ready to go to bed, and then in the morning I have to leave right away back to the office. So, you know, when I have a fight come up, it's really tough not getting to see her as often as I'd like.
Chris, you also got Dean Thomas on the line as well.
Oh, how's it going, Dean? How you doing, man?
What's up, man? It's Dean Thomas. What's up, y'all? What's up?
What's up, man? Just here talking to Nick, and now you, you know, real quick, Dean, sorry, man. You know, Ricardo Mayorga, everyone saw this press conference that went down last week, and the first thing a lot of people have been getting on me about, a lot of boxing fans, they're trying to say that when he backhanded you, that you got stunned. Can you please clarify that? Because I said you didn't, but I'd just like to hear from your own mouth.
It barely touched me.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
really, it barely touched me. Like, I saw it, you know, like, I was, because I had to watch it, because they were like, man, did you get hurt? Was you hurt? So I had to watch it, and I watched it, and I was like, I mean, you could clearly see, like, as he hit me, I put my hand up just in case he tried to throw another one. And then I shot in. And, like, you know, when you hit and I hit and the bouncer got in the way, And this dude was like 250, 260. So, like, you know, when I hit this dude, hit the bouncer, I was like, man, I ain't going nowhere. So, you know, I just relaxed at that point. So, like, at that point, so, like, that's what it looked like, you know, he was holding me up. So, because I had just relaxed. As soon as I hit him, I felt like I hit a wall. So I was like, man, I ain't going nowhere. So I just relaxed at that point and was like, all right, ain't nothing happening.
D, when he threw that strike, though, you know, it looked like your feet went under. I mean, did you slip? I mean, were you trying to return a shot back at him? Is that why you fell forward onto the bodyguard?
No, that's called a shot when you change your level.
That's what I thought it looked like.
You know, it's a level change.
That's what I thought.
In order to shoot, you got to change your level. So that's all that was. I mean, you know, you can see it, and I guess. If you don't know what you're looking at, I guess it could look like I was going down. But I mean, obviously, a level change means going down. So that's all that was. It wasn't like I didn't even feel like he hit me.
In other words, what you're gonna do is probably you were planning to shoot down at his legs. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I was rushing to attack him. You know what I'm saying?
Uh huh.
All right. Well, sorry, man. Go ahead, finish.
Nah, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, because everybody's like, man, was your days. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, I really didn't know what it hit me, really. You know what I'm saying? It kind of just, like, grazed my face. Like, his knuckle, like, I felt like his finger, actually, it was more like his finger grazed my face.
Now, Nick, really quick, does he have a case, if you were to represent him, does he have a case for Ricardo over there taking a shot at him?
I think he does. That's clearly an assault and battery, and I vote we file a civil action as soon as possible.
Well, I'm saying like this, you know what I mean, like, you know, Nick is an attorney, and I've been dealing with attorneys quite a lot in my day. So, I mean, I might have to call him up one of these days, you know, I might have to get his number before it's over just in case something else pop off, you know, because I'm always in trouble.
All right. So, you know, Nick and Dean, either one of you guys can answer this question. I'm just curious, how did you guys get involved with the Shine promotion, and how long have you guys had time to prepare for your fights respectively?
You can go ahead and answer that first, Nick.
All right. You know, I was really frustrated after I fought Shields. I fought Paul Daly, beat him, and after that I couldn't get a fight. In fact, the organization that had my contract made me fight at 185 when I'm a 170-pounder, saying that they didn't have any fights for me. Yep. And so I was really, you know, I really liked the guys at Strikeforce, but I was really frustrated. I happened to manage a few guys, and one of them fought for Shine. And got to talking to their matchmaker, and he said, hey, we'll have you fight every show we have. And that's what I was looking to do. And so, you know, it really was a good fit for me at the time.
How about you, Dean? Because you're my average opponent.
Like, for me, you know, actually my manager called me and was like, look, they're looking for somebody to fight my orga. And, you know, they don't know who. So I said, man, tell them I'll do it. So, you know, it was kind of between me and a couple other guys, and I was like, look, man, I'm the guy for it, you know. I'm the one who can, you know, dog this dude out, and I've been adamant about the fact that I wanted to fight a boxer. So, you know, I just kind of pleaded my case, and I got on board with these guys.
Dean, were you aware in how much trash talk that Ricardo did?
No, I didn't, because I don't speak Spanish, you know what I'm saying? And, like, so I don't, like, I know he talks, like, you talking about prior to this or, like, you know, just
yeah,
in his
prior
career.
To this, you know, when he
I knew he was a trash talker. I mean, he said some funny stuff. I heard some funny stuff that he was saying, and I knew he talked a lot of trash, but, like,
but,
you know,
until
you're face to face, you don't really, you
right.
can never comprehend how bad it really is.
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, he says some funny stuff, but until you're in his face, is it that funny anymore? I mean, you got to kind of take it personal at a certain level, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, you know. Like, I try not to let him get to me. That's the thing is, you know, I know what he's trying to do. I know he's trying to get to me, trying to get me mad and you know, get under my skin. And at the moment, yeah, I mean, he could get a little bit under your skin. But, you know, I know he's just a trash talker. And that's really, you know, what he's based his career on is talking trash and trying to get under, you know, his opponent's skin. So I try not to let it get to me. And, I mean, in the heat of the moment, you know, yeah, it gets to me a little bit, but, you know, for the most part, you know, come May 15th, you know, I'll be totally focused and ready to go and won't be concerned with all the stuff that he has said.
How much is riding on you right now about defeating Ricardo Mayorga because of the fact that he comes from a completely different combat world? I mean, are MMA fans on you about, hey, you need to do your job, you need to show this guy, he's now in a different type of league of sport?
Well, you know what? I mean, I think initially it was like that. They were like, listen, you know, you're representing MMA here. So, like, and, you know, I'll gladly put MMA on my back and walk through the trenches. You know what I'm saying? I'll gladly do it. But I think at this point, like, after everybody has seen the press conference, you know, I think it's a little bit more personal now. And everybody just kind of wants me to, you know, bust him up for the fact that, you know, he was so disrespectful and he, you know, he karate chopped me and blew smoke in my face. I think it's a little bit more personal now. So now it's not so much as about, you know, MMA versus boxing as it is Dean Thomas versus Ricardo Mayorga.
You know, Dean, you and Nick being involved in MMA this whole time, with a guy like Mayorga, MMA, most of the fighters are pretty respectful towards each other. Ricardo, obviously not so much in boxing in regards to this. And I will have to say, during the press conference, it did look like, especially when it was getting personal, saying things, you know, about your mother and stuff, that it did get underneath your skin. Was I wrong on that, or did it get you at the moment?
No, I mean, like, you know, the thing is, like, when he's talking, he's, like I said, I don't speak Spanish. So, like, I know his intentions were best, but I didn't really get to know what he was saying. And, like, I know the lady was holding back because she was, like, giggling and, like, looked all embarrassed to say what he was really trying to say. And, like, some of the stuff she was saying just didn't make sense. And it's like, she told me afterwards that, like, she was holding back. And, like, everybody told me afterwards that he was holding back. So, like, really, like, that stuff didn't get under my skin, what he was saying. I mean, his intentions, I knew his intentions were bad just by the way he was acting. But what really got under my skin was the fact that he blew smoke in my face. Because, you know, that's like spitting on somebody, in my opinion. Like, you know, that's the only thing that kind of bothered me was that he blew smoke in my face.
Right. All right, getting back to Nick. You know, you got your opponent, Eduardo Pamplona, coming up. The guy has been on a really strong run lately. He hasn't lost since, 2007 to Robbie Lawler. What kind of fight are you expecting against Pamplona?
You know, at this level, everybody's really tough. He's no exception. I'm not going to be able to throw anything at him that he hasn't seen before. But the same applies to me as well. He's not going to be able to do anything that I haven't seen before. And at the end of the day, I feel like I'm a more well-rounded and more versatile fighter, and that'll show.
You know, you said you didn't like fighting at 185 when Strikeforce, you know, I think you're referring to the Tim Kennedy fight, I believe. You are a big 170. Is that weight cut at all a problem for you at this time?
Yeah, the weight cut's never fun, but I'm, you know, I think my discipline in terms of what I eat and my mentality of, well, I'm cutting the weight and making sure I rehydrate and do all that stuff the right way really pays off benefits so that, while I never like cutting the weight, I feel fine come fight time.
All right. Dean, back to you real quick. You know, you're training with American Top Team, one of the better teams in mixed martial arts. Is the game plan, I mean, obviously you don't want to give it away completely, but is there even any reason to think that you're going to mess around on the feet and you're not going to just take Mayorga down and just have your way with him?
Well, honestly, you know, I think I'm a better boxer than he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you know, in his day, I mean, I got to give him his props. I mean, you know, he's a guy who smokes, drinks, you know, parties like a rock star. But in his day, I mean, he could really box. I mean, he was never 100% crisp, you know, with his stuff. But, I mean, back in the early 2000s, he had decent boxing skills. And then as he progressed and he got a little bit older, he got a little bit wilder, you know, because he does hit so hard. He got a little bit wilder, was able to get away with it. But, you know, to me right now, I think he's a shot fighter. You know what I mean? I think he's done. And I feel like there ain't really no reason for me to take him down. You know what I mean? I think I'm a better boxer than him, you know? And then the fact that I can kick, I can knee, I can elbow, like, these are things that he ain't used to looking at. So, you know, I think the first time, you know, he gets kicked in the leg, you know, kicked in the gut, you know, he gonna be like, whoa, what was that? I ain't never seen that before. So,
yeah.
I ain't no reason for me to even think about taking him down, really.
What weight
I don't
is
feel
fire?
Like it.
What weight is this at? Because I know you fought at lightweight a lot in your career, but Mayorga at the press conference, he looked like about a middleweight out there, I mean, or a welterweight. What weight is this?
Yeah, middleweight. All his weight was in the middle.
Yeah.
The weight is 160.
All right, well, I don't know if he's going to be able to make it or not. Are you worried about that at all? Because, you know, he's had fights before in boxing where he's made complaints and tried to pull out last minute, most notably against Oscar De La Hoya. Is that at all a concern of you?
Nah. Well, yeah, I'm afraid that he's going to pull out at the last minute. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be because of his weight, but I think he might wake up in the morning like, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm crazy. You know, I'm about to, you know, engage in a fight that I know nothing about. That's the only reason I'm afraid that he might pull out. But I think, you know, even if he comes in overweight, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, we're going to have to just talk about that because, you know, I'm not really looking forward to him, you know, not making weight and then, you know, the fight not happening. I really want this fight to happen, so you know, I'm hoping that he does the right thing and he's, you know, professional about that part and, you know, makes the weight. So just kind of hoping.
Right. Nick, you know, I've seen it on the internet. I mean, you can't always believe what you read on the internet, but I saw a little while back that it said you tried out for the upcoming season or the most recent season of The Ultimate Fighter. Is that true? And if so, what was the decision behind that for you?
Yeah, I was out there for the tryouts. I've actually been out there a number of times. They brought me up for the veteran season right after I fought Carl Parisian. I had a cut over my eye, so I didn't make it. And then I had, before that, they flew myself, Eddie Alvarez, and Jason Von Flew out as backups, which Von Flew ultimately got picked for, to walk in the middle of the show. So I know the producers and talked to them before this season, and they said, come on out, we'd love to have you. Went through everything, sat there all night, and then they called me a few days later. We decided not to use UFC veterans. Like, well, why did you tell me that before I came out? So it ended up being a waste of time, but it was good seeing everybody, and I have a buddy that lives out there who I hadn't seen in a while, so ended up making a nice little trip of it.
Personally, do you think that they don't want to use veterans, or that they, I mean, in all honesty, looking at the field this year, I think you probably would be the strong favorite. Do you think that at all was a concern of theirs?
Oh, absolutely. And I think veterans are boring. You know, talk to Dean about what he does every night. It's going and training, going to bed, eating right. You know, it's the reason the veteran season sucked. They all sat in the house.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we started off staying in the house and ate good and played cards at night, waiting for the next day to train.
Yep. So I think, you know, they're looking for ratings, obviously not the best fighter. And so, you know, I think they made a decision not to use myself, Lambert, Logan Clark, and the other veterans that were out there.
Right. You know, Dean, recently your level of opposition, you know, since the Josh Neer fight, you've been fighting guys that are not even close to your level. You know, is that just you're taking the opportunities that are presented to you along with this Mayorga fight, you know, or, you know, what's kind of – where are you at in your career right now personally?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean it's kind of hard. Like, if you ain't fighting in the UFC really, like, especially in my level, you know, as far as, like, being a lightweight, you know, if you're not in the UFC, I mean, it's hard to fight you know, the top guys. Like, you – because actually I've been fighting at 145. So, like, if I'm not in the WEC – you know, or Bellator, really. Well, really, WEC, they're like, you know, that's who's left. You know what I'm saying? There's really nobody left, like, because they all, you know, WEC has all the top guys at 145. They're in Japan as well, but, you know, for the most part. So, you know, and right now I wasn't interested in signing with the WEC, getting a three-fight deal with them. I'm not interested in jumping into another marriage like that. You know, I'm happy freelancing and going around, you know, getting fights here and there. I'm old, you know what I'm saying? I don't really need to be – I ain't no up-and-comer. I don't need a home. I just need a place to fight every once in a while.
You know, both you guys are veterans in the game. Dean, you've been fighting for 12 years now. How much longer do you each see, you know, how much longer do you see your careers going? Or, you know, how many years? You guys have any set, or is it like your body's going to tell you when it's time to shut it down? Because it's not a thing with boxing, with boxers, where MMA hasn't been around as long. You guys are more so, especially Dean, you know, almost pioneers in this sport. How much longer do each of you guys see, you know, how long longer do you see yourselves fighting?
Nick,
go ahead, Dean. Oh, okay, I'll answer. You know, I've never set a timeline of when I want to do it. I imagine as my law practice picks up, I'm going to have less and less time to train, and so it'll either be when I'm no longer having fun, which I don't see happening anytime soon, or when I don't have enough time to train so that I feel confident going into the ring.
As for me, I feel like, you know, like Nick said, as soon as I stop having fun, you know, that's when it's time to quit. And for me, more so than that, like, I'm not trying to go out too bad, like, on a losing end. I mean, you know, and I'm adamant about this fact, you know, it sucks to see, like, Jens Pulver go out, you know, losing, like, the last six of his seven fights. I mean, it's hard for me to see that because, like, you know, he's, you know, I consider him, again, a role model and a pioneer. And, like, to watch him go out like that, it sucks to see that. Even a guy like Chuck Liddell, another one, you know, he's not had a good run, and, you know, his days are numbered. You know, I'd like to see him go out on a win, to be honest with you. But it still sucks that he had such bad luck. So for me, I feel like if I feel like my luck starts to change, I'm going to jump out because I'm not going to go out like on like some three-fight losing streak. I mean, that was like even when I lost in the UFC, I lost to Kenny Florin, hurt my knee, lost to Josh Neer, just, you know, couldn't pull that one off. So I said, you know, I can't go out like this. I got to go out on the winning streak, or at least with my head held high, I can't go out, you know, with my head down.
Really quick, Chris, you got a Saturday, May 15th, live on pay-per-view, Shine Fight Promotion presents World Collide at the Crown Coliseum in North Carolina. Ricardo Mayorga versus Dean Thomas. It's going to be a great event. You want to be able to try to make sure you purchase this pay-per-view event so you can see what's going to happen. Dean says he's going to whoop that ass, so it's going to be a good fight. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. You know, another thing, yeah, as far as being a veteran, you mentioned it yourself, Dean, most notably in the Kenny Florian fight. Do you feel, as older fighters, you know, that injuries, it's just harder to recover from? I mean, because with most athletes, it is. And MMA training, you know, I've never heard a fighter say that they went into a fight 100%. Is injury something that's harder to, you know, just avoid and deal with and fight through as you get further along in your careers?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's tough, you know. Especially you get old in this game, and like, there's so many different aspects you got to work on. I mean, but being that there's so many different aspects you got to work on, like, if you hurt in one area, you're gonna have to work on them other areas. So I mean, it is definitely tough. Injuries, you know, totally dictate what your training is like in most cases. But you still got to get through it. You still got to do it. You still got to improve on all the areas of fighting. But you know, injuries is definitely gonna be common. So if any up and comer out there thinking that, you know, when you see a guy fight, he's 100% and that's what he's got, that ain't always the case. You know, a guy is always hurt. Something on him is hurt.
Right. What about with you, Nick?
Yeah, I don't think I can add anything to what Dean said. I mean, if you're going into a fight 100%, you didn't train hard enough. And I find that as I get older and older, those injuries take a little longer to heal up.
Right. Now, ultimately, is there any goals that you guys haven't reached in your careers that you want to, that are realistic goals, or you kind of just, you know, like you told me earlier, you know, just kind of fighting until, you know, you decide otherwise? Do either of you have any goals you haven't reached yet that you aspire to at this point?
I know for me, I've done what I wanted to do years ago. I mean, I fought my first UFC fight in 2001. I mean, I started training in 96, fought my first UFC fight in 2001. I was in Japan by 98. I mean, I've surpassed my goals, so, like, now it's all just, you know, icing, you know, the cherry on top. So that's why, for me, like, I don't necessarily fight for money. You know, that's not the main motivation why I fight. I do it because I love what I'm doing. So, you know, there's nothing really – I mean, that's another reason why I wanted to take this fight against Mayorga, was because, you know, I fought BJ Penn, Matt Serra, you know, Florian, you know, Quay Guida, all these guys, you know, all the top dogs in the game, you know. But the one thing I haven't done was fought – somebody at a high level in another sport, boxing. So, like, I was really motivated to take this fight because it's something I haven't done. Not that it was a goal of mine, but it's just something I haven't done. So, you know, I'm really interested in this fight.
For me, you know, I left the UFC, went to Bulldog, and opted not to go back to the UFC because I really wanted to fight in Japan. It's been my goal to be the belt holder of Sengoku over there. They're starting their tournament this summer, and that's still my goal. So I think when I finish that, I'll then reevaluate kind of where I'm at in my career.
Right. You know, Dean, Nick probably, you know, is going to go on to be a lawyer when he retires. Do you have any idea, you know, would you like to be involved in the sport even when you do stop fighting?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I got
two gyms. In fact, I got two American Top Team schools that I own and operate. I'm the head coach of another American Top Team school. So in some fashion or some way, I'm going to be definitely involved in the sport. You know, whether I'm, you know, I teach kids, I teach whoever. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm a martial artist, you know, through my blood. It's in my blood. So, you know, even like, people ask me all the time, what do you do to train for fights? I'm like, man, I train anyway. You know what I'm saying? Just when I got a fight, I get more specific about what I want to do. But I'm training 2-3 times a day, just because I have the access to, and I love training, and I love fighting.
I may be wrong, but weren't you doing a little acting on the side as well?
Yeah, I was even doing that as well. I started acting probably back in, you know, maybe 2003, 2004, just because, like, I wanted to get another dimension to my game. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, nerves can play a part of a fight, so I figured that maybe if I started acting, you know, it could help me get a little bit of focus for fights.
Speaking of acting, Dean, do you believe that Ricardo is really acting, wanting to be in this MMA fight, or is he just acting like he doesn't really care? Do you feel that he wants to do this, or do you feel like he's taking you serious at all? I mean, his body's not fit yet, so do you feel,
yeah,
that another way he's kind of undermining that what he's getting himself in?
man, I think this guy has got, you know, I think this guy has got the IQ of a retard. So I don't think he really even understands what he's getting himself into. I don't think he's acting. I think he don't respect me. I don't think he respects MMA. I think he hits hard. I think he's had a successful boxing career, and that's all he's going to need to go in there and beat somebody up. But, you know, like I said, I think he's an idiot, and he's going to pay for it.
Now, anything that he brings to the table that concerns you at all? I mean, we all know this guy's got great punching power in boxing, okay? But he's never been known as a very technically sound boxer, you know? He's not the flashiest guy. He's not a cutie in the ring. He's always been more of a brawler. What is it about Ricardo that he's bringing to the table that you guys would really have to watch tapes of or study? Or does that even matter to you?
No, it definitely matters to me. I mean, I've been watching footage on him for a month now, watching his footwork patterns, watching how he holds his hands, because he does. I mean, in MMA, you don't need to have technical boxing skills in a sense. I mean, you know, you hit hard, there's 4-ounce gloves, you can just make contact and do damage. So you don't need super technical boxing skills. But, you know, so that's one thing I got to be concerned with. I can't let this guy, I can't stand in front of him and just trade with him. I can't let him get his hands on me like that. So I've been, you know, studying his footwork, studying the way he moves, studying the way he delivers punches. I've been working on, you know, getting around that and encountering and making him pay for it. Because one thing he don't understand either is that I'm wearing 4-ounce gloves too, and he ain't never been hit by one.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, in MMA, it's been known as to be a very safe sport, a lot safer than boxing. There's been several deaths in boxing. Are you hoping that the ref lets, if you get him in trouble, are you hoping the ref is going to allow you to maybe put a little bit more punishment than usual? Or are you going to be a little disappointed if he falls on his back from a big punch of yours or a kick and they stop it automatically?
I think he'll be a little bit disappointed, you know. So I think, I'll be a little disappointed. I mean, not to say I want to put a guy in the grave, you know what I mean? But like, you know, I mean, really, I just want the W, you know what I'm saying? I want the W. But like, yeah, I think the main point is that, you know, I need to prove myself to him, because I don't think he totally respects me. And I think that, like, if they stop it too early, he won't get that respect that I deserve. So I want him to quit, you know. I mean, really, more so than anything else, I want him to quit. I want him to give up and say, you know what, I got my ass whooped. This guy whooped my ass.
All right, well, I guess, you know, you sold me on this. I mean, I was already interested beforehand, but you definitely sold me. I want to thank you guys, you know, unless you have any more questions for Dean or Nick, I just want to thank you guys for your time. You know, looking forward to this event.
Yeah, you know what, I do got one more question for Dean is – do you think you're the bigger puncher in this fight?
Do I think he's the bigger puncher?
No, do you think you're the bigger puncher?
No, I'm the better puncher. He's the bigger puncher. I'm
how so, though, Dean? Because, you know, in boxing, they have a certain amount of ounces of padding in their gloves. In MMA, you got 4 ounces on the hand. So there's a difference of contact, right? You would have to say when a punch is landed.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to go and give his props. I'm not going to underestimate him, and I'm going to give him his props to say that he is a bigger puncher than me. You know, I'm not going to try to fool myself into thinking that I'm a bigger puncher. I'll say that, you know, I'm a better puncher. My man told me the other day, you know, power thrills, speed kills. I'll give him the power advantage, but, you know, that just thrills people. But he ain't ever going to put his hands on me to really be able to prove that point, because I'm way too fast for him.
Who's got the better chin?
Who's got the better chin?
Yeah.
I that's one thing I had to give him, too. I mean, we've watched him against Vernon Forrest. I mean, he took – and even Tito Trinidad, I mean, he took some big shots, and it never even affected him.
No.
I mean, in fact, he let Vernon Forrest hit him a few times and just punched himself in the face and came back and knocked him out. I mean, you know, that takes a lot.
Let me ask you this, because speaking about those fights, rest in peace, Vernon Forrest, and even with Tito Trinidad, and he even did it with Oscar De La Hoya, he's put his chin out there, and he allows his foes to land some free shots. Are you going to be surprised, or are you going to take it as he's trying to sucker you in if he does that against you?
If he does it again, see, that's the problem with these guys is that, like, you know, when they hit him, they were surprised. They were like, whoa, I'm hitting this guy with everything I got, and he's not going nowhere. I think that shocked him, and then, you know, that threw him off their game. For me, I'm expecting him to do something like that, because I know he don't respect my power. So I'm expecting him to do something like that. So for me, I'm going to go ahead, you know, I'm going to take them shots, but I'm going to keep working them. I'm not going to be looking to knock them out with them shots. I'm just going to tear them apart one layer at a time, peel his back off.
Hey, if he does that, though, if he sticks his chin out like that and taunts you, punch or a kick? Because if you throw a kick, I figure it's lights out.
I might fly and knee him in his face.
All right, brothers. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on, leaving the ring. I can't wait for this fight. I'm definitely going to pay for it to watch what's going to happen, the outcome of it. I think not only MMA fans are very intrigued in this matchup, but I believe a lot of hardcore fight fans like myself, you know, who's followed Ricardo Mayorga for some time, I'm very interested in this move. Just like James Toney deciding to go to the MMA world, I think it's a bad move for boxers to do that. But, hey, hopefully you guys convince them to go to come back to the other side of the grass.
Yeah, well, let me say this. You know what I mean? When I tear him up, you know, I'm going to go ahead and offer him a rematch in boxing just so I can prove another point.
Oh, man, that would be great, brother. Hey, I really appreciate you guys coming on.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Nick, good luck in your fight, man. I hope you train hard.
You too, Dean. I hope you kick him right in the head.
Well, there you go. You know, we had Dean Thomas and Nick the Goat Thompson on the line with us. You know what? I hung up on my host by accident, so hopefully he calls right back on. But it's going to be Saturday night, May 15th, live on pay-per-view. Shine's Fight Promotion presents World Collide at the Crown Coliseum in North Carolina. Ricardo Mayorga versus Dean Thomas. It's scheduled at starting at 6 o'clock, so it looks like it's going to be a great, great matchup. You know what? Let me see. I think I got a caller online right now, and if I believe it's recording artist, rapper, Vicente. Are you there, brother? Vicente, are you there, brother?
Thank you for having me at the show. I appreciate it.
How you doing, man? I know you're a big MMA and a boxing fan, and you're from Nicaragua, and you're a rap artist, and you had hit me up a little earlier saying, hey, I heard you're going to have Mayorga on. I want to come on and give him a shout-out, and also you got an album dropping pretty soon. So go ahead and break it down a little bit, brother. What's the album called, and when is it coming out?
Well, the name of the album, you know what I'm saying, is titled The Future, titulado El Futuro, you know what I'm saying? It's like hip-hop, and reggaeton, and a lot of urban sound, you know what I'm saying? So, and the album will be dropping on the summertime again, you know what I'm saying? Title of the Future, you know, El Futuro. So, and yes, I am a big fan of boxing. I love boxing. I got a lot of respect for MMA, and I wish both of the fighters, you know, good luck. And, you know, like I said, boxing and MMA, you know what I'm saying? I take my hat off to those guys. I used to box myself back in the days, too. So, I know how hard it is, and it's going to be interesting to see an MMA fighter. And a boxer, you know what I'm saying, in the ring. And especially if they keep it up in the stand-up game, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I heard the interview with Nick, you know, best luck to both of them. And, but Mayorga has a lot of chin, and he has a lot of power, too, you know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah, for all the fans of Facento, La Presencia Artística, I appreciate you guys supporting me in my music career, and thank you to living in the ring, you know what I'm saying, for you guys having me on your show. I really appreciate it from the heart, my brother.
Pacento, let me ask you this. You know, Ricardo Mayorga is actually from your side of the hood, to your pueblo, and coming out of Nicaragua, okay? And one of the major stars coming out of Nicaragua is a guy that you have been following. And what is your thoughts a little bit about him deciding to jump to the other side of the green, when, you know, jumping over the boxing world, going in into the MMA world? Is it a good move? I mean, you know, no boxer has been successful in doing
It's just like you said, you know, it makes a lot of sense what you said earlier about a boxer going into the MMA world, you know what I'm saying? It is a mistake, you know, because, of course, it's, you know, MMA is mixed martial arts, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're putting an MMA fighter in a ring and just keeping his stand-up. I truly believe that there is no way an MMA fighter is going to be a boxer. You know what I'm saying? A boxer is trained to fight from the waist up, you know, and, of course, you know, your footwork and stuff like that. And mixed martial arts, you know what I'm saying, they do a little bit of everything, you know. But a boxer, that's what they study, you know what I'm saying, from the waist up. You know what I'm saying? They study all the movements and stuff like that. So I think it would be it's bad. It's just like you putting an MMA fighter in the boxing world. You know what I'm saying? I truly believe that they will make it, just like the boxer will go in the MMA. I mean, it depends if you have a lot of ground training. I mean, and I'm talking about you got years, you know, let's say 5 years, 6 years, maybe even 8 years in of our training and, you know, whatever, then a boxer would do really well. But as far as boxers going to MMA, I think it's a mistake.
We got Vicente on the line with us, recording artist of reggaeton and rapper. He's got an album coming out. Vicente, thank you very much, brother, for calling in. It was a pleasure having you on, man. And I'm going to look out for that album and pick it up, brother, and bump it in the system.
All right. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it so much. Yeah, ya lo saben, para toda mi gente latina, acento la presencia artística with Living in the Ring, you know what I'm saying? That's how I do it. In America, I'm coming, so watch out for the album, El Futuro, the future. Acento, Latino, stand up.
That's right. Latinos, stand up. All right, brother, you take it easy, man. Enjoy the sun out there right now before it goes away.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. God bless you guys, man. Stay up and keep doing your thing.
Absolutely. Well, I got Chris back. Chris, by accident, I hung up on you. I was trying to, you know, mute the other guys before they had hung up. And so my apologies to you, Chris.
Yeah, all of a sudden some commercial came on for insurance, and I'm like, what's going on here? I turned the show on. Luckily, I had the show on my browser, so I could hear you saying you hung up on me. I'm like, all right. I thought you just was like, that's the interview. Show's a wrap.
Show's a wrap, man. Well, a little earlier, if you missed, we had Dean Thomas and Nick the Goat Thompson on the line with us, talking about their scheduled fight that's happening May 15th, Saturday, on pay-per-view. Shine's Fight Promotions presents Worlds Collide at the Crown Coliseum in North Carolina. A very, very interesting matchup. I got to say, man, you know, being that I'm a hardcore fight fan, brother, I still think this is a bad mood for Ricardo Mayorga. I don't know what was the whole case. That's why I wanted him on. I was hoping that he was going to get on. The hope is still there. They did tell me that they are going to still try to get him on for us. So hopefully it'll be either later on the show. If not, we'll get him on another day. But I definitely have a lot of questions for him, as well as my co-host, 916 Chris, you know, has some questions. But a little later on the show, we are going to have Mike the Beast Johnson and Victor Almanador Marino. They're going to be on the show. So, hey, Chris, you know, this MMA show is obviously, it's your show, but I got some emails here about a question that some MMA fans had for you. They wanted me to ask you about. So I'm going to give you the questions they had. They said, since BJ Penn has lost in his last prior fight, does it still make him the best? How does that affect him?
You know, that's subjective, because a lot of people actually believe he won that fight. The majority of the MMA journalists and MMA media believe that BJ won that fight and he didn't get the decision. Now, it's hard to consider a man the best when he doesn't have the belt, when he lost the belt. Do I still think that he's the best 155-pound mixed lightweight mixed martial artist out there? Yes, I do. And I do think in a rematch, which he has scheduled now with the man that beat him, Frankie Edgar, I do expect him to win that fight. But he didn't show the dominance that he showed in the past. I mean, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if it was rumors he had a sinus problem. I don't know if it was fighting outdoors in Abu Dhabi. I don't know if maybe he just didn't have the hunger with the opponent not being perceived as a real challenge. But personally, I still believe that BJ Penn is the best lightweight in the world. I still think he's one of the best top 5 pound-for-pound fighters out there. But he's the one that's a challenger coming into the next bout against Frankie Edgar. So if he wants to prove that he is one of the best out there, he's going to not only have to win, but he's going to have to win decisively, you know, to take his belt back.
Adam, he didn't put where he's from, but he has a question for you. What happened this past weekend on the primetime channel? You guys were mentioning a little bit on Leaving in the Ring boxing, but you guys didn't get too much into it. What are your thoughts about the breakout between the Nick Diaz camp going into the cage to call out Mayhem?
I have two schools of thought on this. In regards to Jason Mayhem Miller coming in to call out Jake Shields for a rematch, I don't think by any means that's out of line. I mean, the UFC does that, although theirs is more organized. Jason Mayhem Miller went in there on his own accord, whereas the UFC will more so orchestrate a fighter calling another fighter out after a fight. Maybe his timing wasn't the best, and doing so with Nick and Nate Diaz that close probably isn't the best idea unless you're planning on throwing down, but I don't have as much of an issue with it as a lot of the mainstream media and a lot of the mainstream MMA media. They're saying it's bad for the sport. It's a bad look, especially being as it was on network television. I understand that, but these guys are fighters. I think it actually saved the night. It was a big talking point. People are still talking about it a week later. I mean, they say all bad press is good press, and in a way, I think that's the case, because otherwise, I think this card would have already been long gone and being spoken about, just because the three fights featured were not all that entertaining and all that exciting. I mean, I've got a lot of boxing fans and MMA fans still asking me about it. So it may not have been the best thing for the sport, but I think it was good that it's keeping the Strikeforce name out there. I don't really have a problem with it. Maybe that's because I'm a fan of the Diaz brothers. I don't know, but as far as my side of the fence, I don't think it's a real problem and a big issue.
Juan asks the same kind of question, but he's wondering, does it really, really affect the possibilities of Strikeforce or UFC or any other network to get back on a major network like that? It seems that a lot of MMA fans were very disappointed and upset about this. What is your opinion about that?
You know, it could, but I think the real factor in whether or not we're going to see MMA on network television, the bottom line is, it's going to come down to numbers. And unfortunately, that Strikeforce card did a really low number. I mean, it did about a third or a fourth of what Kimbo's shows did when he was on CBS a year or two ago. So I think I don't think it's really going to play a factor. I don't think if something's successful, a lot of the times networks, television, regardless, anyone that's selling something, they don't really care. Controversy usually sells. So if it draws enough interest, I don't think it's going to be an issue, but it's hard to say. I mean, the rating was really low, so if Strikeforce is not back on CBS, I think it's more based on the fact that the numbers were low rather than, you know, that brawl breaking out. UFC, Dana White's already been out speaking against it. He said, you know, Strikeforce and Showtime, it's their fault. You know, he's fought to legitimize MMA, and this is a bad look for the sport. So I don't think it's going to play a big factor, but you never know. I mean, that's obviously going to be something we'll be able to determine in the next year or so.
Catherine Banks asking, Andre Silva disgraced the sport on UFC on Saturday night. Should he be fined or should he be released from his UFC contract by Dana White?
No, I don't believe he definitely shouldn't be released. I mean, if you have the number one fighter or perceived number one or at least number two pound-for-pound fighter in the sport, why would you release him off a bad performance? That'd be ridiculous because your competition would scoop him up in no time. I mean, granted, he did piss off a lot of fans that night with his performance or lack thereof, but he's still one of the best fighters in the sport, and he's still very capable of putting on dynamic shows when he has his mind right in it. Can you find him? What are you going to find him for? I mean, fans of this show or of the normal Even in the Ring show seen Roy Jones many a times dominate fighters and clown them, you know. Dave, let me ask you this. When Roy Jones was doing that in the 90s, when he was having one-sided fights and just toying with his opponents, what was your perception of Roy Jones at that time?
You know, I just thought that he was just too good for his opponents. I mean, he got bored in there and he decided to play with them. It's just like watching a lion play with his food. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what I would see when Roy Jones would step into the ring and, you know, clown around. Of course, you know, fight fans from any type of combat sport are not going to like that, because if you're paying big money and you're sitting down and you're trying to enjoy the fights, you want to watch somebody either, you know, do their job, which is go out there, knock them out in great fashion, get it over with, and move on to the next guy, the next threatening guy that is a possibility where that guy may take you, you know, some extra rounds, may be a challenge. So I could understand a little bit what some of the MMA fans are trying to say with the Silva, that, you know, punching the canvas and you know, pot shotting and really showboating and showing that he had more superior skills than the guy, you know. But suspend him or release him from his contract. Come on, that's a little brutal, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, you know, it's much like Roy Jones, though. When a guy is so much superior, fans want to know, why don't you just take this guy out? You have the capability. There's no perceived threat. Why wouldn't you finish him off? And Anderson Silva still has yet to give a conclusive answer. So Dana White's already scheduled his next fight against Chael Sonnen, a guy that should bring the fight to him. Dana White has said if Anderson Silva does this again, puts on another performance of that caliber, that he would cut him. I still don't believe it, but I can understand fans' frustration. I was frustrated that night as well, but Anderson Silva goes in there, you know, he's the one that's putting his life on the line each time he steps in the cage, so I can't really judge him too much, even if I was disappointed with his performance that night.
Yeah, you know, and if you want to call into the show, 347-215-7598. This is Leaving the Ring presents Chris in the Cage MMA special. We got two MMA fighters that are going to be calling in. I believe we might have one on the line right now. Before I patch him in, though, let me break it down and where these guys are going to be fighting at. Gladiator Challenge presents Champion Saturday, May 1st at the Red Hawk Casino in Placerville, California. Three championship titles are on the line. You know, the pre-sale tickets are available at $45. That's $15 each off each ticket purchase in advance. The number to call in to purchase your tickets are going to be 209-324-3395. We got heavyweight Mike the Beast Johnson calling in, making his debut out there. And we also got Victor Amador Moreno. Let me see who I got on the line with us. Area code 209. Go ahead, brother. State your name. You're on Leaving the Ring.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Victor El Matador Moreno, along here with Mike.
Yeah, Mike the Beast Johnson right here also.
Mike the Beast, you got a debut coming up, brother. And Victor, how you doing, man?
Well, you know, just getting ready for the fight.
Now, you're one and one. You got 16-0 amateurs. You won a title on that there. How was the transition? You know, because I know it's a completely transition in boxing from moving from the amateurs, but is that a little bit different when you leave the amateurs in the MMA world going into the pros?
Oh, most definitely. There's a big transition, and it could be a shell shock for some people. You know, it's a whole different dimension of fighting.
Speaking of Victor, I mean, Mike, you know, MMA, a lot of fighters don't go to the amateur circuit. Have you had amateur fights, or are you kind of just stepping into the pro ranks, you know, with a clean slate?
Actually, I'm just stepping in there, clean slate. This is my first fight, period. I've been training for about 6 years now, and I just told myself it's time to do it. It's time to step in there, and unfortunately, in this area, the pancreation, they kind of put a stop to it in this area, so I really didn't get a chance to do that. So my trainer asked me if I was ready to step into the cage. I told him, let's do it. I'm ready.
Mike, is that why they call you the Beast Man? Because you just said, I'm going to go all full-fledged with it? I'm just going to go at it.
Pretty much. You know, I get people ask me all the time, you know, Len, you didn't do no amateurs? I said, nah, you know, I'm ready for whatever. I would have did them if they were still around, but hey, this opportunity presented itself, and you know, I'm not going to turn it down.
Well, let me ask you something, Victor. Being that you had amateur pedigree to back you up going into the pros, does it hurt him, Mike the Beast, in now just jumping into it? I mean, you know, it's like you're working your way in, you know what I mean? It's, you know, hands on the job at the moment. That's what you can kind of say how it is for him.
You know what? I guess you could say every fighter is different. I have the opportunity to get those fights in. And, you know, Mike's been training for a long time, and he's ready for this. You know, he's ready to just step in the cage with, you know, these other people right here at the professional level. But, you know, only time will tell, but I'm very confident in Mike. You know, we've been training together for a couple years now, and, you know, I have a lot of confidence in our team.
Now, you guys are both coming from Team Endurance. Is that that's the club you guys train with, right?
That's correct.
Victor, how long have you – oh, no, go ahead, Mike.
I was just saying, yeah, it's Team Endurance, and we fight out of series, California.
Right. Victor, how long were you training for before you took your first amateur fight? And after, you know, your 16 amateur fights, what made you decide to finally turn pro?
Well, actually, I just trained. It was only 5 months, and then I went to my first amateur fight. And, well, I got involved just working out one day. I met up with Mike before I got out of the military. And he's like, you want to get a good workout? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I was always down to for a physical sport. And I've been wanting to do it since I was 13 years old. But, you know, parents, you know, always for the protection of the kid, don't want to let you do it. But it arose, and I took advantage of it, and I've been in love with it ever since.
Now, you won your debut fight, but things didn't go your way in your last fight. What do you think went wrong in that fight? What happened there in that fight exactly?
Well, you know, it could have been a lot of things. You know, I'm a person that doesn't really like to make excuses, but since I'm out here in the air, you know, I got into the ring with an injury. My ribs were pretty bruised up. Could have been a fracture. And it was 3 weeks into the fight. And, you know, when physically, I really don't mind going into the cage because I'm never 100%. There's always something wrong. But I think this time it got to my mind and I lost focus. But this time, you could say I'm 100% as far as my ribs and everything else. So it's going to be a different fight.
Right. Now, Mike, being as this is your debut, but, you know, and Victor's just made his pro debut recently, is there anything that, you know, you ask him for advice or just, you know, as far as mental preparation, is there anything that you've talked to him about specifically in preparation for your bout?
Oh, yeah. You know, I lean on him and my trainer, you know, all the time and ask for advice. And, you know, because, you know, I'll be honest, you know, you start to get that little doubt creeping in and stuff like that. And, you know, they just tell me, you know, stay positive, you know, just picture the game plan in my head and, you know, just, don't worry about, you know, like, honestly, I don't know anything about my opponent, and I'm really not concerned. I know what I need to go in there and do and my game plan and just stick to my game plan and don't let my opponent, you know, impose his will on me, but impose my will on my opponent and just stay focused, stay positive. You know, if somebody asks me if I'm going to win, I'm telling them I'm going to win. I'm gonna leave there with my hand raised. I can't let any doubt creep into my head. And to just stay focused. That's, and you know, we're like in our gym, we're like we're like brothers. We talk about everything, you know, advice, and that's pretty much the number one thing is just stay focused, stay mentally prepared. Because half the battle is mental. If you lose the mental battle, then you pretty much lost the fight.
Hey, Mike, you know, when right away when you think of the nickname the Beast, you know, what comes to mind is a big guy that is just going to come forward and is ready to bang with your opponent. Is that a good description of you?
You know, in this, being my first fight, you know, that's what I do in the gym. I'm, you know, I stand up, you know, and I take shots and I give shots. And my game plan in the gym, it's going to pretty much the fight's going to, it's gonna, once I get in there, it's going to dictate, but I'm going to, you know, I mean, my mind tells me to go in there all, you know, all out and everything, but I got to be smart also. You know, I'm 5'11", 250, and, yeah, I'm going to get in there, and I'm just going to do what I have to do.
We got Mike the Beast Johnson and Victor El Manador Moreno. Moreno, let me ask you this. El Manador, obviously, is a guy that lets the bull come forward, and then you kind of switch and hit him. You know, you execute him when you move out of the way. Is that the type of style that you bring to the table, or is it more of the bull style?
It's a mixture of both, actually. And you know what? And that's what I got to bring to this fight. You know, just mix it up a little bit of both. You know, I have a few of my fights on YouTube, and you see that. You see that sometimes I'm the agile one moving around and just, you know, playing with my opponent, and then, you know, the next fight, you can see that I'm the bull charging in, and but it all comes in as one.
Gladiator Challenge presents champions Saturday, May 1st at the Red Hawk Casino in Placerville, California. Three championship titles are on the line. Pre-sale tickets are available, $45. That's 15 off each ticket if purchased in advance. The number is to call in is 2093-2433-95. Victor, let me ask you this. You know, obviously, a Latino, is it very important for you to make a stamp as a Latino in the sport of MMA? You know, to bring a crossover of, you know, Latinos to get more involved in it, to come around, you know, to have that type of nationality support?
Almost definitely. And, you know, I'm always, you know, it's a nature to just come out and represent my heritage. You know, that's just how I was raised. And I believe there's a lot of talent out there, you know, as far as being Latino, Mexican, anything, you know, it doesn't matter. Anything to do with Latino, I think, you know, there's a big majority in California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and there's a lot of talent out there. And, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of exposure to have a little bit of motivation. and I'm definitely going to put it, you know, put it on the map.
Mike, I'm kind of curious, what kind of fighter, what do you think your style is, what do you think your strengths are, and going into a fight where you don't know anything about your opponent, what is the one thing, or what is the one area of your game that you're most concerned about?
I wouldn't really, if I had to be concerned about something, I'm a big guy, and, you know, as big guys, we really don't like to go to the ground, you know. I mean, not to say that I can't handle myself on the ground, but, you know, I'm going to try to keep it on my feet. You know, the one thing I do have, you know, for a guy my size is, you know, I'd like to think that I'm pretty light on my feet for being as big as I am. So, you know, I'd say the ground game, but, you know, if it goes there, you know, I do what I have to do, and I try to keep it down and try to keep it on my feet, try to, you know, just box with him, bang with him.
And, Victor, do you know anything about your opponent yet, or?
From what I know, he's pretty much, his foundation is jiu-jitsu. And that's all I know, and that's where I'm going to leave it. That's what I told, you know, all the people that I train with, because they were asking me, you know, have you seen his videos? Have you seen this? Have you heard of, you know what? For my last fight, you know, I was getting into that, finding out who he was, and I don't know if that could have been an effect, but I know that for my amateur fights, I never knew who I was fighting or where they were from, and I didn't really care because I have one goal and I have one mission, and that's to win, regardless of who they are and where they're from. So I'm going to keep it like that for this fight. Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm going to leave right there.
Victor, let me ask you, how do you draw up a game plan against your opponent? And, you know, if a guy is good in jiu-jitsu, if a guy is good with his striking game, how do you draw up a game plan? Because at any given time, stepping in the cage with these guys, they can switch it up on you.
Well, that's where my coach comes in, and that's where, you know, my training comes in. I have to adapt to every situation. And, you know, if I'm not prepared for that, then I shouldn't be in the cage. You know, I have to be prepared for anything that comes my way and just adapt to it and, you know, stick to my game plan. And that's pretty much how I did it before. And, you know, that brought me W's to the table. So I don't see why it shouldn't work.
Is it crucial to be able to see any type of video, any YouTube videos of your opponent? Or is it like, hey, you know what, I got to just be a professional and do what I got to do. I have to be able to adjust in there if needed. How important is that for you?
Well, you know, like I said before, I think every fighter is different. They have their way of, you know, preparing themselves. And, you know, I got tips from all kinds of different fighters. And my coach told me that the way he did it was he didn't care who they were. And then I kind of went about it from there. You know, I just was like, you know what, I like that method of training or preparing yourself from a fight. But, you know, some people, they like to look at fights because, you know, they get a feel for who they're fighting with. But I think everybody's different. Every fighter's different. And I respect everybody's decision as far as, you know, preparation.
Mike, what made you decide ultimately to get into mixed martial arts? And did you have any background in any other kind of, like, athletic sports, where it be, you know, football, baseball, or anything else in high school or since?
Actually, yeah, I played football. You know, I played football, baseball. You know, just your regular, you know, everyday sports. About 6 years ago, you know, I just met my coach. We actually happened to work at the same job, and I was coming off a hand injury, so I was off of work for like 3 months, and actually I put on some weight. And when I went back to work, my coach was working there, and we started talking, and he was getting ready for a fight, and we just started talking, and he told me come by, hold the pads for him one day, and, you know, I liked it, got into it, and we've been together ever since. And I just, you know, I just grew a love for it.
What's the toughest aspect of being a fighter for either of you?
For me, you know, I got a family, I got two kids, I work full time. It's just, I'd say the hardest part, and I give a lot of respect to the fighters that have the dedication. I mean, this is a lifestyle. You have to live this every day of your life. And the people that, you know, and I give a lot of respect to the guys out there doing it, you know, it's a complete lifestyle. You have to be dedicated to do this sport.
Yeah.
How about you for you, Victor?
I agree with Mike. You know, I mean, I just got married not too long ago, and I go to school full time at CSU Stanislaus, and I work as well part time. Obviously, what we're doing right now, it doesn't pay a lot, but we're doing it because we love to do it. But it does definitely takes a lot of motivation, dedication, and definitely courage. But you know, eventually it'll pay off, and that's what we want.
How do the wives, man? I mean, ask you this: how do the wives respond to this? You know, their husbands are going out there. You got Mike the Beast here. He's going to do a debut. How is your wives responding that you're deciding to take a different type of route of career where you physically get a hit and, you know, you can get your nose smashed in, knee in the face, elbow? How are they responding to that?
My wife, I mean, she pretty much left it up to me. She doesn't get too involved in it. She's going to go watch it. But she told me, straight up, if I don't like what I see, I'm going to leave, and I completely I completely understand that, she supports me. She supports me. My kids support me. They understand that this is what dad loves to do, I don't do this because I have to. I do this because I want to, and they understand that.
Any fighter in the sport, young or old, that hasn't made it yet, their ultimate aspiration, I would assume, is to make it to the UFC. Is that either of yours' ultimate goals, or?
Well, obviously I get that asked a lot. What are you planning on doing? Are you trying to make a career out of it? And, there's a lot of, different organizations out there. And, UFC is obviously the most popular one. But, I'm open for, whoever is out there, because, Strikeforce, Bellator, WEC, those are all also well-known names, but UFC would be like, that's a big paycheck as well, you can't be too, greedy, I guess you could say.
Would this be the preferable career choice for either of you if successful?
For me, I'd say, most definitely. I mean, like I said, I do this because I want to, but, I mean, if it leads to, if I get in there and it goes well and, I'm gonna keep doing it until I'm told to stop, I'm going to do it as long as I can.
Right.
Hey, the Team Endurance is out of Ceres, California. Guys, can you tell me what is the difference between other city MMA fighters and the series fighters from Team Endurance? What do you guys bring?
Well, we bring a great coach. We got a great coach, that set up this team. Mike started, he started with him before I did, obviously, but we have a series of talent there, and it's a little bit different. We train out of a garage right now, but it's tough training, especially during summer. We train in the garage with the doors closed, 110 degree weather plus.
Wow.
And we train. Yeah, it's intense training, and a lot of people can vouch. We had a lot of people from Ceres, Modesto, Turlock come into our gym and just to try it out, and we get the same result.
Some don't come back.
Some don't come back, but some love the training because it's so hot in there. And
uh-huh.
We do pretty much is a lot of endurance. That's what we do.
Because, I don't think a lot of people know there's a lot of raza that come out of Ceres, Modesto, these little towns that are kind of compact around almost close to Stockton, and, got the Diaz brothers coming out of Stockton. The intensity that you guys bring, I think some city fighters may look at you guys like, oh, these are country boys. What do they bring to the table?
Oh, you know, we always get that, you know, misperception about, you know, because we're a small town, small city. But you know what? I was born and raised in San Jose, but.
Orale, I was too.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? But I came to Modesto, and this became, they, you know, they embraced me, and I felt very welcome here, and I represent, you know, Modesto, the Valley, pretty much. That's what I represent. We're trained out of series, but Valley is where my heart is at, and, you know, just because you're from a big city don't mean nothing, you know? I mean, we train just as hard as everybody else, and that's what we bring to the table, was pretty much heart.
Sounds good. All right, well, unless you got any other questions, I think that's pretty much it, you know? Looking forward to hopefully getting to check out these fights next weekend. You know, I'm pretty close to that area. So I guess unless you guys have anything else you'd like to say, you know, or thank any of your sponsors or, you know, your management or your team or anything.
I would just like to thank the rest of our team Endurance for, you know, just helping us get ready. Thank our coach, Jesse Vasquez, you know, put a lot of time and effort into us. And just thank all our fans out there. That are coming out showing support, and thank you for having us on.
Definitely. The Gladiator Challenge presents Champion Saturday, May 1st at the Red Hawk Casino in Placerville, California. Three championship titles are on the line. Pre-sale tickets are available, $45. That's 15 off each ticket if purchased in advance. The number to call is 209-324-3395. Victor, go ahead, brother. What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah. I just want to add one more thing. I just want to thank my fans and pretty much thank I just want to give a quick shout-out to Arturo Beltran, you know, for hooking us up with this, you know, this little interview. And, of course, I want to thank your radio show to having us. And just everybody else in the Valley, you know, just come out and support us, and we won't disappoint you.
Well, guys, I wish you guys the best of luck. You know, I got to thank Arturo también for setting this up, giving me a ring and putting me aware of this event. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to head down over there and check you guys out, man. I wish you guys all the success, you know, that MMA is able to offer you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right, brothers. Well, there you go, man. Chris, let me see. I think we have a MMA fan on the line for you, Chris. Let's see. Area code 843, brother, you're on the line. Go ahead on Leaving in the Ring Live.
What's happening, fellas? D from South Carolina.
What's up, D? Man, D, I didn't even know you were an MMA fan, too.
Oh, yeah, man. I watch it. I ain't been keeping up with it with all the boxing matches here lately, man. But I'm a big fan of both, man.
All
I got
right.
a question, man. When I didn't know Faber. When did he join UFC, man? I just seen a commercial here.
Well, you know he's not in the UFC. The company or the organization that he works for is called the WEC, but they're owned by the same company, parent company.
Okay.
And they're really trying to sell this event. So Dana White normally wouldn't be as involved. But since he's trying to really push it, since it's our first time on pay-per-view, he's all over the place. So, yeah, it does look like a UFC event this week. You're right.
Yeah, because I thought I'd seen UFC across the screen, but okay. All right.
You know, actually,
I'm
think
a big
they
fan
are
of that dude there, man.
I do believe they are kind of putting the UFC name behind it, even though it's not a UFC event, which makes me believe that ultimately they're going to fold, you know, the WEC into the UFC and just absorb it, because WEC's got a little bit of the lighter weight fighters. They got the 135s and the 145s,
right,
which, you know, the UFC doesn't have yet.
Right. I'm surprised Dana White didn't jump on that yet. No, start a division that low right there by now. I figure you'd have been trying to tap into that market right there.
Yeah. So are you a Uriah Faber fan, or?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, he's been getting kind of rocked there the last, I want to say it was the last, did he win the last match, or was the match before that?
The match before is the one where he lost. Yeah, he actually had a win in his comeback fight, but I don't know. This weekend he's fighting for the belt. He's trying to get his belt back, but I don't see things going his way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's going up
against... Well, he's got so much stuff on his plate, man. I read a little article on him. That dude's pretty young, man, owns all kind of stuff, man, so... Maybe he ain't hungry like the way he once was.
He just, you know, is a guy that was successful in the sport, but I know now that the level of, you know, athletes and the fighters are getting better, he's still a good fighter, but I just don't think that he's at the top anymore. You know, he's been in it for a minute. And you're right, he has spread himself very thin. You know, I saw the Countdown show last night, and he's got a lot of things going on in the city of Sacramento outside of fighting. Right. He's running gyms and just a lot of stuff. You know, you kind of wonder how you can focus on your fights with so much other stuff going on outside the ring or the cage.
Okay, so I didn't notice this. I didn't see the date on it. This is tomorrow he's fighting.
Actually, it's tomorrow night. And fortunately, I'm going to be attending it. Yeah, no, you know what? Actually, they're going to be on pay-per-view. It normally is on Versus,
pay-per-view.
But they're going for pay-per-view this time.
Okay.
Isn't this the first time they're going to be going on pay-per-view, Chris? Is that that's what I was reading the other day?
Yeah, it is. It actually is, which is why, you know, Dana White's out there pushing it so hard. But in all honesty, this card is probably the most impressive card on paper I've seen in a long time, you know.
Well, why don't you break it down for us, Chris, of who's fighting on that card and what are your picks?
All right, well, you know, obviously the main event, as we've been discussing here, is the featherweight champion, Jose José Aldo, defending his title against the former champion, the number one attraction and star of the WBC by far, Uriah Faber. You know, they're having this fight in Sacramento for a reason. Every time Uriah fights here, he sells a lot of tickets. The event tomorrow should be close to a sellout. Uriah Faber's a good fighter. He is the former champion, but José Aldo, I just believe that this guy is on another level. I mean, this guy is very similar to Anderson Silva. He's just a lot lighter. He's explosive. He's won six fights in a row in the WBC, almost all of them by first-round knockout. He destroyed the former champion Mike Brown in his last fight to win the title. Mike Brown, who actually beat Uriah Faber twice. I think Uriah is a good all-around fighter, but I just think this is a horrible matchup for him in every single aspect of the game. Aside from that, in the co-main event, you have a rematch of what I considered and many considered last year's fight of the year mixed martial arts. You got the lightweight champion, WBC lightweight champion Ben Henderson, defending his title against Donald the Cowboy Cerrone. Anyone that saw that fight last year, five-round war, the decision's still up for debate. I actually thought Donald Cerrone deserved the decision, but it was given to Ben Henderson. But the good thing about, you know, mixed martial arts is you're usually going to get a rematch fairly quick, and that's the case here. I want to favor Henderson, but he looked a little drawn out at the weigh-in today. You know, even when he made weight, he kind of made a gesture like he was glad he made it. And I don't know, he got tired late in the first fight. And if that happens here, I think Donald Cerrone can take it over, because last two rounds of the last fight, he really poured it on, and Ben Henderson was lucky to get out of there with the win. But I don't know, this is about as close as a fight as you're going to get. And, you know, whenever you get a fight of the year, the rematch usually doesn't match up, you know, but I expect another great five-round war here. Do you have any thoughts on this fight, man?
Oh, man, no. I'm definitely going to check this out. I'm off tomorrow, man. Tomorrow's my first Saturday off in a long time, man. So I'm definitely be hitting up the local sports bar that has all the events. I'm sure it's going to be there.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed, I don't think. Also, we got going on, we got, as I mentioned, the former featherweight champion Mike Brown. He's going to be on the card as well. He's going up against Manny the Anvil Gamborian, a guy that was one of the main fighters on the Ultimate Fighter a few years ago, the season that Nate Diaz won. He actually was fighting Nate Diaz in the finale. It's a good fight, two evenly matched fighters in stature, but Mike Brown is the former champion. He's looking to get a rematch against the winner of Saturday night's fight, whether it be Jose Aldo or Uriah Faber. I think Mike Brown's just a more well-rounded fighter here. I think it's going to be a tough fight. Probably go to a decision, but in the end, I think Mike Brown's going to be able to pull this one out. Next up, we got Anthony Njokuani going up against Shane Roller. Njokuani coming off one of the best knockouts last year you're going to see in boxing or MMA. This guy was trying to run away, and he got kicked in the face from behind and just absolutely obliterated. So he's going up against Shane Roller, who is a strong wrestler. Basically, it's the old school, you know, you got the ground guy against the stand-up guy, you know, the thing that's been going on in MMA since the beginning. I got to favor Njokuani, though. Bigger guy, more well-rounded. Shane Roller can get him down on the ground with his wrestling, but anytime this fight's on the feet, Njokuani can end it, and I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to knock this Shane Roller kid out sometime, and he's going to catch him sooner or later. I mean, he's just too dangerous on the feet not to.
Chris, do you want to answer any more other calls? We got a couple other calls on the line
now. Oh, absolutely, man. Any calls, put them through.
Okay. Area code 832, you're on the line on Leaving in the Ring Live, brother.
Oh, what's up, y'all? Chris, this is the Elite One. How y'all doing today?
Hey, man, I'm good. How you doing, man? What's going on? What's on your mind? What you want to talk about?
Man, it's just like, I feel like they're kind of leaving out, what's his name, Uriah Faber's opponent.
Oh, Aldo. Jose Aldo.
You know what, I think he kind of like the underdog, because was it like yesterday or, what, Thursday, Uriah Faber day?
Yeah, actually, well, you know, yesterday was the day Kevin Johnson, our mayor, the former NBA player, did declare Uriah Faber day here in Sacramento. And you're right, Jose Aldo, you know, if anyone saw the countdown, I don't know if you got to see it or not, they devoted about the first 5 to 10 minutes maybe of Jose Aldo, and then a strong majority of it was for Uriah Faber. But, you know, you got to kind of go with the guy that has sold the most tickets, the guy whenever Uriah Faber fights on Versus, they get stronger ratings. So I can understand that, but I do see your point that they seem to be underselling Jose Aldo just a bit.
Yeah, I guess they're just trying to sell pay-per-view tickets. I guess I can understand that, this being the first pay-per-view, but how many return buys are they going to get if the person they promoted gets knocked out in the first round? And that's what Aldo's, you know, been known to do. So I don't know, but...
You know, that's a double-edged sword, though. You know, if Uriah Faber wins, obviously goes as planned. I mean, the WEC is not going to go out and say they want Uriah Faber to win, but you would best believe that considering the way they're promoting the event. But conversely, if Jose Aldo, you know, decisively beats Uriah Faber, you kind of got, maybe people would be like, oh, who is this guy that destroyed this kid that's real popular? Maybe fans will want to see him. But that being said, well, how do you see this fight going down? Who do you think is going to win the fight?
Well, you know what? I used to think Uriah Faber was, you know, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters out there. But after he got beat by Mike Brown, not once, but twice, and then after what Aldo did to Brown, I got to go with Aldo.
Yeah, I feel the same exact way. What do you think? You think it's going to be a knockout? You think Jose Aldo is going to keep this early fight knockout streak going against Uriah?
I think so. I mean, you know, plus Uriah has been known to do crazy stuff. That's how he got caught the first time with Brown. But I don't know. This Aldo kid, just like you said, he's like Anderson Silva without all the, you know, silliness of the last fight. Just a focused Anderson Silva, and that's scary. Every time he seems to get better and better, so... I really do think, if not in the first round, early in the second round, I think he's going to get him.
Yeah, I know, and it sounds like I'm selling Uriah Faber short. You know, he is the local guy. He is the former champ. I do want to say, I do think Uriah Faber, he does have the superior wrestling. He's a very quick fighter, and I do think if he gets the fight to the ground, he may have a chance because he's got pretty good submissions, and, you know, he's a good scrambler, and I do think that he has an opportunity if he can get this fight to the ground, but Mike Brown's a bigger, stronger guy, and he couldn't get Aldo down to the ground, so... I don't know if Uriah Faber is going to be able to. Do you got any thoughts on the rematch between Henderson and Cerrone, which I thought, like I said earlier, was one of the best fights of last year, and I actually thought Cerrone deserved the decision. I'm really looking forward to this rematch.
Man, you know, I'm just excited to see that because that first fight was amazing. But like you said, with such hype coming from that first fight and being as good as it was, I don't think this one can match up. But no matter what, I think it is going to be a good fight. But I do think that Cerrone is going to get it this time.
Yeah,
like you, I think he should have gotten the nod, but I think he's going to get it this time.
Yeah, he's one of the he's definitely one of my favorite fighters watching the sport. The guy, I have yet to see him in a lackluster. I mean, every single fight that guy's in is just exciting as hell. He's one of the best. He may not be the best, but he's one of the best fighters in the WC and definitely the most entertaining. So really looking forward to this event. Anything else you're looking forward to on tomorrow's card? Because it's a pretty stacked card, you know. There's a lot of guys on there. I know a lot of the names may not be familiar in the MMA, you know, mainstream and stuff, but there's a lot of big names on there. Anyone else you're looking forward to seeing or any fights in particular?
Well, actually, Mike Brown, I became a fan of his after Uriah Faber twice, so I'm really looking forward to his fight. And you know what? I don't know. I didn't actually get to see the countdown show, but it seemed like he was champ and nobody really, I don't know, he didn't get as, I guess, press as he should have. And not now, I don't think he's getting as much as he should. Is he the co-main event or?
Actually, he's the third fight. You know, of course, you got the two championships, the main two, but he is the third fight.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And
oh, yeah.
You're right. You know, he is a guy that when he was a champ, his reign kind of, it didn't last very long, obviously. You know, he only had the fight against Uriah, the rematch, and then he had the fight against Jose where he lost the title. But, yeah.
Well, no, he defended it. Didn't he defend his title against,
yeah, you're right. He defended it against, I want to say Leonard Garcia.
Yeah, that's him, Leonard Garcia, yeah.
Yeah, he destroyed Leonard Garcia. I forgot about that fight. It was
over
so quick.
First round, like in the first minute of the first round, yeah.
That's another guy who's fighting tomorrow as well. You know, Spike TV is going to be showing these prelims before the pay-per-view. So how do you feel about it being on pay-per-view? I've had a lot of fans I've heard about complaining because, you know, it's, all the WBC shows have been free on Versus, and they don't want to pay to see this. But I think as stacked as this event is, I wouldn't have a problem
exactly.
with it at all.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, okay, I understand it's been free all this time, but look at all the people they have fighting. This is one, I mean, you have former champs, and you have two title fights. I mean, come on. You can understand this being on pay-per-view. I mean, I can see the argument for wanting to see it free, but when a card is this stacked, it's worth the money to me. And you know at least, man, you know at least those title fights are going to be exciting. So, I mean, it's worth the money to me.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're an MMA fan, so.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, and if I wasn't going, fortunately, I'm fortunate enough that it's happening in my city, so I'm going to be able to attend live. But if I wasn't, I would have no problem paying for it on pay-per-view. I mean, you know, unlike boxing pay-per-views, I know a lot of people kind of get on me because I don't order boxing pay-per-views and I, you know, do the show and stuff. But the undercards are really lackluster, and there's not really one fight on here that is not mismatched, you know. The names may not be all that familiar to, you know, like I said, mainstream fans, but all the matchups are intriguing to myself personally. I mean, maybe that's because I'm a hardcore fan, but I don't know. Either way, I'm looking forward to it.
Man, the same way with me. I don't know. Maybe I am a hardcore fan, but I don't think of myself as that much of a MMA hardcore fan, but I'm really excited for this fight, for this card tomorrow.
Right. So what's up, Ruff? You got any more callers, or if not, I'm going to go over the rest of this card with my man here.
You know what?
Hey, hold on, man.
I'm over here looking at boxing and stuff, man. My bad. Nah, we don't, brother. Go ahead and keep going on with your news.
All right, man.
Stuff.
I'm
going
to preview this card a little bit more. The next fight we got a rematch between Scott Jorgensen and Antonio Buenuelos. Scott Jorgensen just won a fight in the last WBC Battle of the Mohawks. You know, went in there and choked that guy out with a guillotine. Actually, did you get to see the last WBC event where this guy choked him out? And he actually picked him up off the floor. I mean, it was unbelievable. He had him hanging there in the air with a guillotine choke.
No, I didn't see. You know, I watched the last WBC, but I don't remember that. I don't remember that particular fight, though.
Yeah, it was a prelim. It was something I've never seen. I mean, it was like a schoolyard bully picking up a smaller underclassman and just lifting him up in the air. And I mean, I thought he was going to break the guy's neck. It was that bad. This is an interesting rematch, though. Buenuelos got the decision in the first fight. I actually thought that Jorgensen pulled it out, but I think Jorgensen's going to win this fight. Preliminary bouts, you know, the two that are going to be on Spike TV, as I mentioned, they're doing this beforehand, trying to get some pay-per-view buys. You got Leonard, the bad boy, Garcia, against a guy making his WBC debut, Chan Sung Jung, a.k.a. the Korean Zombie. Very unique nickname. I don't know why he's called the Korean Zombie. I'm sure we'll find out. But, you know, Leonard Garcia, the bad boy, you've seen him fight. What do you think about Leonard?
Well, you know, yeah, I've seen Leonard fight, and I don't know anything about this other guy. What's his like specialty? Is he a ground guy or stand-up?
I think he's a similar fighter as Leonard. I think he's more of a stand-up guy. I haven't really got to see any tape on him yet either, but he's coming in with a pretty good name. But Leonard just pretty much stands up and throws those hands. You know, all of his fights turn into, you know, slugfest. So
I got to go with Leonard on that one because he has a track record with me, so I know how good he is. I mean, so I got to go with him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chan Sung Jung. The guy's only got one loss. Leonard, I love watching the guy fight every time. He always puts on a show, but he just doesn't seem to be getting any better. So we'll see. Aside from that, you got Alex Karolexis, the guy that was on The Ultimate Fighter way back in, I believe it was the first season of The Ultimate Fighter, taking on Anthony Pettis, a guy that also was on the last WEC card, knocked out Danny Castillo out of Uriah Faber's camp with a head kick in the first round. So this should be a short fight. I think this Pettis kid is one of the future stars in the division, a real dominant, dynamic striker, and I think he's going to take Karolexis out. On the preliminary bouts, you got Brad Pickett, a UK fighter, new to the WEC, taking on actually another newer fighter, Demetrius Johnson, a guy I've heard a lot about. I haven't got a chance to see him yet, but word is this guy's a real athlete, real explosive, and should be making a splash in his debut. You got Chad Mendez fighting out of Uriah Faber's camp as well, Team Alpha Male. This is a kid that they're talking about is going to be the next version of Uriah Faber. He's only got 6 fights so far. He's undefeated, but I know the WEC has been touting him already. He's kind of a last-minute replacement. He's taking on a guy, Anthony Morrison, who actually Anthony Morrison was the guy that fought Mike Brown in his last fight. Did you get to see Mike Brown's last fight?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah, I saw that one, but that's the one he crucifixed him, right? Mike Brown?
Yeah. Yeah, he took out the guy real, real early.
Hmm. And so, he's one fighting this guy that's saying that it's going to be the next Uriah Faber?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's really good. He's one of the better college wrestlers at his weight at the time. So I think this Mendez kid, you know, even though he took the fight on last, he actually only took it on 2 weeks' notice, but he trains full-time. Those Uriah Faber, Team Alpha Male, those guys are always in the gym nonstop. So I think he's going to take him down and probably win a decision. Next up, we got Takeu Mizugaki taking on Hani Yaha. Yaha, the jiu-jitsu guy, against Mizugaki, who had a war with Miguel Torres a couple years ago for the title. You know, Miguel Torres ended up winning that fight, but he pushed Miguel Torres pretty hard in that fight. Mizugaki's a tough fighter. Yaha, more of the ground specialist, so I think Mizugaki's too much for him, though, physically. I think he's going to win a decision. And opening bout of the night, making his WBC debut, Tyler Toner, going against Brandon Vischer, a guy that has only one fight in the WBC. I believe he fought Courtney Buck. Absolutely obliterated this guy on the ground with some ground and pound that I want to say was disturbing. It was so bad the way he hammer fisted this guy out. So.
Oh yeah, I remember that fight. Yeah, that's the worst. That was the worst hammer fist I've seen in a man. I guess I would say forever because he was laid into that guy. And
yeah,
the ref, he got it like what? I would say like five good ones before the ref even stopped it.
Yeah, the ref got in there way late. I mean, those were not your average hammer fists. Those were really, really. I'm surprised he didn't break a guy's eye socket or his jaw or something. Those were vicious. I'm really looking forward to seeing this Vischer kid fight again because that was brutal. So,
Chris,
yeah, what's going on, Dave?
Really quick. Getting an email here from Ivan Lopez from Modesto, California. He's wondering, do you see if? I'm gonna have to try to kind of correct what he's saying here. Do you guys see if the UFC will ever fall behind Strikeforce, since Strikeforce has been picking up the better fighters?
No, I don't see that ever happening. You know, the UFC's had competitors in recent years that have tried their best to compete, whether it's Affliction, whether it's Elite XC, whether it's Bodog, whether it's the IFL. All of them have fell way by the wayside. They haven't had any success at all. Dana White is a very smart businessman, and I don't believe Strikeforce has been signing the better fighters at all. I mean, the guys that they have in their organization they're good fighters, but I don't think that any of their fighters or any of their champions are better than any of the UFC champions. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't think they're ever gonna UFC's ever gonna fall behind, you know, Strikeforce. But I don't know. I think Strikeforce is too young for them to be even considered in the same league as.
But I mean, in terms of, let me ask you guys this though. In terms of, like, for instance, the Strikeforce just let out a press release right now that signed with Shine International and Tiger Gate to launch a Strikeforce on KIX Action Channel in Asia. I mean, in terms of marketability and making business moves, do you guys feel they're kind of neck to neck with the UFC? I mean, it, you know, business move wise, they're doing all the right things. Where could they surpass them? I think that's what the fan would think. I mean, I think that's, I'm just assuming, so
right,
I might
right.
be wrong, but
yeah.
I'm thinking that's what he's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it like that. They are branching out. They're doing their best to grow their product and, you know, get their name out there, but I don't see it. I mean, UFC, they're going to other countries. You know, they went to Australia, had a successful event. They had an event in Germany. They go over UK and always sell out there. They've gone to Ireland. They're looking to possibly, they're expanding, you know, they're airing fights in Korea now. They're airing fights in China. You know, they have a strong market in Brazil where maybe they may go down to as well. The UFC just has a lock on this. I really don't see any other competitors. As much as Strikeforce is, you know, branching out, they do have the deal with Showtime. They are on broadcast television. I honestly just can't see anyone taking over UFC. UFC's got the name. They're established. When people think mixed martial arts, you know, a lot of casual fans, they don't think MMA. They think UFC. You hear people say, you're going to watch the UFC fights, even when it's not the UFC. So unless I see something really bad going in the UFC, Dana White, you know, screwing up and going down the tank, which I don't see happening, I don't see anyone taking over them anytime in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, me neither. But I do think Strikeforce, they're making some good business decisions. I didn't even know about that. They're branching out like that. So, I mean, they're doing good. They're doing what they can, and they're doing a good job. But, I mean, their new, who was supposed to bring in their new draw? Was that Dan Anderson? and then he gets destroyed in his title, in his debut. So I think that hurt him a lot, not even to talk about that little
the melee?
Scramble. Yeah, the melee they had at the end of the fight. So, I mean, they're doing good. They're making good business decisions, but I don't think they're going to come even close to UFC.
You know, but go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, I got another one right now from Larry. God, man, you know what, man? I'm sorry, Larry, but your last name is crazy, dog. It's S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R out of Connecticut. He said, when you guys brought up the Dan Henderson, he's saying, Jake Shields, though, Chris, you even put it in your article, your last article, that he did a surprising victory. Don't you think more MMA fans will tend to swing over if they keep giving better fights than the UFC? Because the UFC has obviously fallen apart since Silva had his breakdown in the center of the cage.
You know, Jake Shields did win. He wasn't expected to win. He has been on a dominant run. Unfortunately for Strikeforce, he's a free agent. You know,
Yeah. They
didn't lock him up. They assumed mistakenly that Dan Henderson was going to come in there. Dan Henderson was the promotional push, even though Jake Shields was the champion for this card last weekend. And Dana White is pushing hard to get Jake Shields in the UFC. And if he's able to do so, that is going to be a huge blow to the Strikeforce organization. You know, having one of your champions beating Dan Henderson, who's one of the bigger names out there, and then he goes and signs with the UFC. So it depends. If Jake Shields signs with the UFC, that's a huge blow to Strikeforce. Now, if he stays, it is good for them. You know, it is good. But the unfortunate thing is they don't really have a lot of competition out there for Jake Shields currently. There's nobody in the Strikeforce organization, now that he's beat Dan Henderson, currently in their middleweight division that is seen as a legitimate threat to Jake Shields. So it's good to have a strong, dominant champion. But if you don't have challengers that people can see as credible or as that can threaten him, then, you know, what are you going to sell? How are you going to sell the fight?
He's emailed me right back right now. He's saying, do you consider Jake Shields the Rocky of the MMA world?
Oh, man. No, I don't think he's the Rocky. You know what? If he's talking about he got an upset win, no, because, you know, in hindsight, Jake Shields has won a lot of fights. He doesn't have a lot of losses. I think, you know, just because Dan Henderson's a more known fighter, a lot of people overlook Jake Shields. Do I think he has a story similar to Rocky? I don't know. I mean,
I don't think that, you know what? I think that was just Strikeforce trying to sell Dan Henderson, because if that fight was happening in the UFC, they wouldn't have sold. I mean, they would have, you know, sold Dan Henderson as much, but they would have sold Jake Shields just as much. So I think that Strikeforce making it seem like he was an underdog, so much, not as good as Dan Henderson, but. I don't know. I think he's always been good because he has a lot of victories and some impressive fights. That was just a company trying to sell this big fight, you know, this big famous fighter that thought was going to bring in a lot of buyers, in my opinion, anyway.
Exactly. You know, and that's a good point. It's very similar to the point you brought up earlier as far as Uriah Faber not being a champ but getting the majority of the press. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to be careful because sometimes that backfires, and it could ultimately backfire big time for Strikeforce in this case. So, I don't know. Speaking of that, though, you know, I was asked about it earlier, my opinion. What was your whole thoughts on the brawl afterwards? And do you think it's bad for mixed martial arts? Do you think it can hurt, you know, whether Strikeforce or UFC of being on network television again in the future?
Man, you know what? I don't think it's going to hurt MMA, but I don't know. I like, you know, because MMA fighters, they should be professional. They're fighters, but that's what set them apart from, you know, regular people just fighting on the street for no reason. But I think they should be professional enough not to take it to that level. But I don't know. You put that emotion in there and bad blood. Things are bound to happen. But
that's the key word there, though, is they're fighters. I mean, you know, a fighter's temperament, is they're human as well, though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you can hold them to a certain stature, but at the end of the day, they're fighters and they're human, so I don't think it hurts MMA, but I think what's his name?
Mayhem
Miller. Miller, yeah, he got a bad rap because I don't think he was trying to come in there and start nothing. I think he just literally wanted to congratulate him and ask for a rematch. And I don't know who threw the first punch, but before you knew it, everything was just going crazy. But I don't know. I don't think Mayhem Miller was trying to start that.
Yeah, I don't think he was either. Jake Shields pushed him, you know, and then I don't know if Mayhem was going to push him back or what, but the Diaz brothers jumped in real quick. You know, ever since Jake Shields beat Jason for that when they fought last year, they've still had a war of words going on online and stuff. So I think that was just the wrong time. You know, Jake Shields just want to fight and give the guy a chance to speak his piece about his victory before you jump in there and challenge him. So
yeah.
Bad timing on Mayhem Miller's part. I don't know. Maybe he can get him on Bully Beatdown and they could fight each other.
Has Miller any, have we had anything from Miller since the fight?
Yeah, actually, you know, he has a website, mayhemmiller.com. He has apologized for his, you know, he just said he went in there and it was bad timing, but he said he apologized for everything that ensued, but that wasn't his thought, you know, that wasn't his intention. He just wanted to ask Jake for a rematch, but I don't see a rematch any time anyway because, I mean, Jake Shields pretty much dominated the first fight. There's no real need for a rematch. I'd actually prefer to see Jason Mayhem Miller against Nick Diaz. That's a more exciting fight, in my opinion. And
actually, you know, yeah, you're right, actually, yeah. That would be a good one.
Those guys have their own bad blood from incident going on years ago where Mayhem interviewed Nick Diaz and was just kind of making fun the whole time of him. So, I don't know. Another thing I wanted to talk about I saw online, I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but I saw that James Toney is scheduled to fight Randy Couture coming up at UFC, I believe, in August in Boston. So
Jesus.
I don't know. That hasn't been confirmed, but that is the rumor. James Toney is going to fight Randy Couture in his first UFC bout. So
I don't know what.
All I got to say is this. Is James Toney, you better not come in those Speedos, dog, into that cage, man. You know?
Come on, man. No fighters wear Speedos anymore. A few guys wear little trunks, but...
Because you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be like the Norbit's wife and when she's going to Raging Waters. And she's like, ma'am, you got something underneath? Yeah, I got wearing my bikini bottom, fool. How you doing? That's all I got to say, man. That's what it's going to be like if he comes in with Speedos.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. This is a crazy fight. I mean, Randy Couture, one of the best fighters in MMA history. James Toney, one of the best boxers. If nothing else, at least these guys both are close in age. I mean, they're both in their 40s and whatnot. But
we got to get James on the line, man. That's what we need to do. I'm going
to
get a hold of him.
I got to
hear what he's got to say. I mean, you know, I just want to ask him, like, James, what made you want to get into MMA? You don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm telling you right now, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You don't know what the hell you're talking about, dog. You want to tell me right now, dog. You know, I'm going to go in there because I'm going to knock his ass out. The Frankenstein brothers didn't want to fight me, you know, so I had to do what I had to do, dog. You don't know. You don't know me, dog.
You James Toney, you DMX.
Yeah, you can't even understand either one of them cats, so don't even worry about it, brother.
That's it. So, Elite One, what do you think about this matchup? Do you think James Toney stands a chance at all? I mean, in all honesty, Randy Couture is getting up there in age. He has looked like he's slowed down, but I don't know. I don't know if Randy's, you know, going to give him a chance to hit him. What do you think about this fight?
Well, you know what, if that happens, the only chance James Toney has is if he can catch Randy Couture before Randy Couture closes the distance and puts him against the cage. Because if Randy Couture gets him against the cage, you know, a novice like that to MMA, that'll be a boring fight because it'll be so one-sided. So I don't think Dana White would do that, though. I hope not, at least.
I don't know. You know what? I'm actually curious.
Honestly, I'd rather see James Toney get it with Kimbo Slice. That would be the more, you know, I don't know. I think that would be a bigger fight, being that, you know, Kimbo's not a great ground guy, you know, and would be willing to stand and fight against James Toney, you know, and James would have a better chance of beating him.
I agree 100%. I thought that's the fight they should have made when they signed James.
Yes.
I mean, I don't understand why they don't make that fight, except for maybe they see more long-term financial potential in Kimbo.
You know, you said something, though. Dana White is a good businessman. Well, obviously, he ain't that great of a businessman if he doesn't see that he can get a lot of hardcore boxing fans to cross over for one special event. Because a lot of fight fans will be like, oh, man, he's going to be fighting that sensational YouTube fighter. Hey, let's watch it. You know, let's see how well James Toney does.
Yeah, that's a good point right there. I think so. Yeah. So that's what he should do. But if he puts him against Randy Couture, man, that's just, I don't, you know what, I don't see him doing that. Until I see it or hear it come out of him, I don't believe it. At least I hope not.
You know, rough, though, the thing is, okay, say James Toney goes in and fights Kimbo. He's probably going to destroy Kimbo. Then Kimbo's worthless. No one's going to want to buy, you know, he's not going to be able to sell Kimbo Slice as a marketable fighter. And, you know,
well, if he puts in Randy Couture, let me put it this way. You know, putting in Randy Couture with James Toney gets him into, like my man said, a boring fight. Then he lost money. He just lost stock on James Toney because now the UFC fans are really going to look at James Toney as a laughing stock. They're going to be like, why was this guy even signed?
Yeah,
probably. Would.
Get him into a competitive fight.
He wants to do.
See, the thing to me, Chris, it's a win-win situation if he puts a Kimbo Slice in James Toney, because if he beats Kimbo Slice, then you make the Randy Couture, because now it even makes it a bigger pay-per-view event.
Yeah, and that'll make more sense, yeah.
But maybe he looks at it like James Toney is a one and out. You know, maybe he just figures, I'm going to get Randy Couture in there, beat him up, and be like, look, MMA is better than boxing. Even though that fight does not establish that one way or the other, neither would Dean Thomas's fight over Ricardo Mayorga, but... You know, you never know. Dana White has ideas. He's a successful guy in there. He knows what he's doing. A lot of people don't agree with the decisions he makes, but UFC is still thriving, so I can't really knock his business hustle.
I'm not knocking his business hustle, but what I'm saying is that I don't see where James Toney can fit in this so-called UFC world. I mean, you know, Mayorga, okay, all right. I can kind of see a little bit of the Shine, why Shine Fights Promotions picked up on him, because he is a wild kind of guy. You know, he's more of a street fighter type of figure, you know, where he's not a classical boxer puncher, where James Toney is a throwback from the boxing era. So that fight, that style alone does not mesh well going into a cage. It just doesn't fit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's all about selling pay-per-views. I mean, James Toney, former champ, multiple division champion, the guy has got the gift of gab.
What I'm trying to say, though, is that already knowing, you know, Dana White already knowing that this guy does not carry that, why not get more money out of him, which is you put him in with a guy that obviously didn't fit the bill when you signed him on, because, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to give you a shot, and he fell apart. He wasn't able to hold up to his hype, which is Kimbo Slice. You know, get more money out of by putting why have two guys right now in your organization that are not going to be able to hold the weight? You know what I'm saying? Make as much money as you can. Put him in with Kimbo. Get rid of Kimbo after he beats Kimbo. Then you put him in with Contura. You get more money out of James Toney. You just tripled your money. That's my opinion. If I had the power to do that, but I don't. Like you said, Dana, it's Dana's organization, but I was just throwing out my thoughts and what I would do. If I was going to have these two guys that really don't fit the roster of the UFC fighter, use them up in that fashion.
Well, you know, once again, the fight hasn't been confirmed. You know, it is just a rumor right now, but it has been reported on a couple of MMA sites, so we'll see. I mean, obviously, Dana White, one thing is, He's not any passive as regarding answering the tough questions. So if that fight happens, I'm sure someone's going to ask him, and we're going to hear what his response is and see, you know, what he has to say.
I'm going to get a hold of that cat. I'm going to get a hold of him, man. I have some resources that can get a hold of him. I definitely got to get him on. I'm a little curious in what his thoughts are and what the fight. I'm curious about what the fight that he's looking for, you know. And I know I'm kind of figuring the reason why he left boxing, you know, because he was never going to get a shot at the Klitschko brothers, you know, or any of the other guys and stuff, because I guess you could say his age, but then you can go back and say, well, what about Holyfield, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, James Toney, obviously, he's got his own ideas too. I don't know what maybe he really thinks that MMA fighters are inferior and that they're just going to stand there and let him beat the hell out of them because he's so much better on the hands, but he's got a hard lesson coming. You know, it's like Dean Thomas. We talked to him earlier, and he says he's going to stand and train with Ricardo Mayorga. I mean, I didn't say it, but I don't think that's a good idea if he decides to go and do that. I think he's going to get knocked out.
Well, let me ask you this.
Let me
ask you guys this really quick, you know, is who picked the better crop of fighter to enter the MMA world? UFC or Shine Fights?
Wow.
Yeah, I'd say UFC because James Toney speaks English, and people, I don't know, James Toney's just more known. Ricardo Mayorga could sell a fight like crazy, but I think, man, I don't know.
I would have to go with Ricardo Mayorga just because the fact that he brings a huge Latino population, you know, as a crossover, you know what I'm saying, where he's going to get more attention because of the fact that he smokes, he'll throw a punch at you, you know. James Toney, yeah, you're right, man, he's got a gift of gab, but in terms of punching power, that he never carried that except for when he was in the middleweight division.
Which fight are you more intrigued by, Randy Couture, James Toney, or Mayorga Dean Thomas?
I'm a little more intrigued right now with Mayorga Dean Thomas.
Well, then as a boxing fan, you would probably say that Shine got the better one. I think most MMA fans would say James Toney, but in getting those fighters, you're trying to attract the boxing audience. So we'll see. We'll see how either – I think the ultimate answer is going to be how either performs, you know? I mean, basically how they perform in their fights.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
So,
I don't understand why they put Toney in there with Couture, though, if that's what they plan on doing. Sound like to me Dana White might be trying to make boxing look kind of
like
weak there, man. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, why would
he? He keeps saying that he loves boxing and he doesn't want to do that, so that's why I don't believe he'll do that. But, yeah, if he makes that fight, it seems obvious that's what he's trying to do.
Or trying to embarrass Toney, one or the other.
Yeah, he says he loves boxing.
Maybe a little bit of both.
He always takes pot shots at boxing. You know, he's talking about the low numbers that the Johns Hopkins pay-per-view did and stuff. So, I don't know. He says he loves boxing.
Yeah.
I like boxing. I don't sit there and diss it over and over for no reason. So,
yeah.
Who knows? Another thing I want to talk about real quick, Bellator. You know, they got a tournament. They had some fights last night. Are you at all interested in the Bellator organization? You know, I'm a hardcore fan. I really like what they're doing out there, but it just seems like they're really under the radar. Do you have any interest in the Bellator? Have you watched it at all?
Man, I haven't even seen a Bellator fight before, man.
Right, yeah. I've seen a little bits and pieces, a little bit of matches here and there, man. But, yeah, I haven't known about it there not long, maybe a couple months maybe. I ain't never even heard of it.
See, and
like
they're
I
on
said,
Fox.
Though, without a boxing, though, man, I've been kind of slacking on my MMA, man.
You know, man, about the Bellator there, Chris, I was watching it. I can't remember the fighter's name. But he was in a position, I guess it's a jiu-jitsu position, and the ref tapped him out when the guy was really setting it up. It was because his eyes were closed, and that's what the ref said, and that's why he stopped it prematurely. And a lot of people feel that decision should be overturned. What are your thoughts about that fight?
Yeah, the referee, I mean, I'm going to give two schools of thought on that. The referee, he did stop the fight early. Obviously, when he stopped the fight, the fighter said right away, he said, "Yo, I'm not out. What are you doing? Why are you stopping the fight?" But if you go back and watch it, he told him, he said, "Show me something, show me something." And the guy was laying there with his eyes closed. He didn't give any indication that he was still there. So as far as the – do I think the fight should be overturned? Well –
what's the name of those fighters first off, Chris, you know, so that some – the people that are listening right now, they know what we're talking about.
The fight was Ben Askren, and he fought against – let me think if I can remember the guy's name. Man, I can't remember the cat's name off the top of my head. I'll get it to you in a minute. But the good news is – that the fighter that lost in that fight, he was brought back on last night's card. There was a card last night. One of the fighters fell off. He wasn't able to come over and compete because of that earthquake in, or whatever's going on in over there in Europe, that earthquake or whatever, that volcano. He wasn't able to come over and compete. So they let that fighter that had lost that fight controversially, they let him get in there last night as a replacement, and he actually ended up winning. So he's going to continue on in that tournament, and most likely he's going to rematch the guy that beat him unfairly in the first fight. So I think all the well that ends well, it kind of worked out in the end for him.
Yeah, it kind of worked itself out there, so that's cool.
Pretty much.
I wouldn't really say, though, that the guy beat him unfairly. I mean, it wasn't his fault. It was the ref's fault.
Yeah, well, it was the ref's fault, but it, one way or the other, he got the short end of the stick. You know, Ryan Thomas, that's his name, Ryan Thomas. But he was fortunate enough, you know, the opportunity presented himself. He didn't get out of weight. He stayed within fighting weight. He fought a week later, and now he's advancing. It is a tournament format, and, you know, maybe he'll get a rematch Ben Askren in the next round of the tournament. So, you know, it worked out for him. You know, it ended up working out for him in the end. You know, he was able to get the win last night. So that's that. But anyways, no, I like Bellator, and I like what they're doing. I just hope that they can get more exposure because, you know, they have three different weight divisions. They're putting on these tournament formats. They got fights every week live on Fox Sports Net. You're building for a winner of the tournament is going to face the champion of the organization. I just wish boxing would do it. It'd be great if boxing would do that. You know, it's similar to the Super Six, and I think if they did that in more weight classes in MMA and boxing, it'd make the sports even that much more fan friendly.
Chris, you have 5 more minutes. You have any final thoughts for the show before we're off?
Yeah, man. Final thoughts on the show. Once again, I want to thank all the fighters that came on. Dean Thomas, you know. I know, obviously, you didn't know who he was beforehand, rough, but you got to admit, the guy I knew beforehand, he's a good talker himself as well.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed by him.
You know, he was able to sell the fight. You know, if boxing fans were listening, I'm sure they'll be looking forward to it. I was glad he was able to explain what happened at the press conference, that he wasn't stunned by the backhand. You know, a lot of people keep telling me he was out on his feet or he went down and it looked like he was shook. You even mentioned it to him as well, you know, and he explained it. He was looking to go in for a shot. So I'm glad he was able to clarify that. And I am looking more forward to that event now, you know, having talked to him and, you know, just knowing Mayorga and what he brings to the table. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's event. You know, I mentioned it numerous times, WEC 48. I really hope that the fans go out and order this event. I think it's well worth your money. I'm definitely going to have a lot to talk about it afterwards. You know, Sacramento's going to be coming out in full force. Uriah Faber, he may not win, but he's definitely going to bring it. And, you know, I just want to thank you guys for calling in. Of course, you know, giving me some feedback. I could always use people to bounce back and forth my ideas with and just talk to fights with. And just hopefully, you know, I'll get a chance to do more of these shows in the future. And hopefully I'll be a little bit more well-prepared. You know, this is my first time out, you know, just a trial run. And just looking forward to doing more in the future and just getting a little more MMA out there to the boxing fans and to the MMA fans.
Pretty cool, man. Well, let me ask you a question. At the WEC event tomorrow, are you going to do a live blog from the event?
You know, I'm not going to do a live blog, but I am going to do a blog. I usually do my blog on the website, thewillbebloodfighter.com, and leave it in the ring. I post it on Monday. I'll probably put it up on Sunday because I'll probably want to get it up as soon as possible. But it's so hard to kind of write while you're at an event and stuff. You know, there's so much going on and stuff. But I'll get up my thoughts. I'll probably do, you know, fight by fight and try to give a recap as best I can of what the environment and what the fights were. So look forward to that on the websites on Sunday. You know, I always put links to those on my YouTube videos and stuff. So,
hey, while you're out there, I'll be in Ontario covering the Chris the Nightmare versus Adamic.
Don't text me. I don't want to know no results. I'm DVRing the fights. I got to stay off the internet. I got to stay off Twitter tomorrow. I got to stay off, you know, Facebook.
You, dog.
I don't want to know any results because when I come home, I want to watch my fights. I want to see my boy.
I'm
going to
ruin it for you. I'm going to ruin it for you, man.
The cell phone's
going to
be off. The cell phone's officially off.
All right, brothers. Well, once again, man, this was Chris in the Cage, first MMA show. We're definitely going to be doing a lot more of these. You know, this was a test run for Chris. I want to thank Shine Promotions for letting us have two of their fighters and also Gladiator Challenge, you know, for giving us two of their fighters for us to interview, as this being the first MMA show that Leaving the Ring has released for Chris in the Cage. So definitely tune in. Again, me and Chris are going to have to go over and listen to the show. And like you said, really just fix the format, you know, because he's by himself. And if anybody's interested of co-hosting with Chris, hey, hit us up on leavetheRing@gmail.com, and definitely we'll look into that and see if you guys mesh well and how the chemistry is. But till then, hey, brothers, you guys have all a good weekend.
All right. See you later, guys.
Have you ever asked yourselves in an hour of meditation, which everyone finds during the day, how long we have been striving for greatness? It is a privilege to fight! We are warriors!
It is pledged that the winner will allow the loser to hold a proper funeral ritual. There are no paths.